Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, for the last time. Now we can focus in on what's actually said in this Mishnah, and discuss a little Parshas Chayisar as well. So we that's correct, right on sim as usual. So after we described the whole Masorah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, Masla Yeshua, Yeshua is the Kenim, and we were able to focus last week on Yeshua, who's the Kenim Leneviim, when Neviim Masul Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Finally, the last step in the Masorah is the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which are very important roles and figures in the history of Klal Yisrael. They're the ones that established for us many things. Most importantly, our Tvila, right? The Anshei Knesset HaGedola established our Nusach, the Nusach of most of the, you know, let's say like the Tvila Shemona Esrei and the setup, the set sitter and all those things. And to realize who exactly they were and how important they were. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner describes, based on a Gemara that says there are many Nevi'im and many Chachamim amongst Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and they're the ones who established our Nusach HaTvila. And he says, why is that so? Because people often ask, this is a side point, once we mention Anshei Knesset HaGedola, people often ask, wouldn't it be better if we didn't have such a set text for davening, and I could daven the way I feel, what I want to say? So what he answers to that is that it's true, there is a sentiment that's important, and there is a place for that in davening, but the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, we don't even understand the great chachma that they put into the words of tefillah. They're not just words. The fact that there were a Nevi'im amongst them, they put in a power of those words, a spiritual power to those words that we can't fathom how strong those words are, exactly which word they put where, and there's a perfect amount of words, it was very highly calculated. And in those words, even though we may not see it, it's something even more than a personal tefillah. Our personal tefillahs are hidden in those words. There's a lot of power hidden in those words, and that's why there's so many commentators on the Siddur. The words of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, just to get a glimpse of who they were, and Hey Mamru Shlosha Dvarim. So what are the three things they have to tell us that are important for how to live our lives? They said three things to us. Havi Mesunin Bedin, V'Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, V'Asu Siyag LaTorah. So just to translate simply, Havi Mesunin Bedin, the Rishonim explained, Mason means with patience. Forethought, when you're going to make a din, literally meaning, let's say, a judge in Beis Din, when the Beis Din is convening and they're judging a case, they shouldn't rush the judgment. And the first thought that comes to their mind, they're going to paskin mutter, aser, chayev, or pater, they should see through it, they shouldn't rush, and they should make sure the din is going to come out to be the truth. Hamidim harbe, establish for yourself many students. And the Rishonim here bring the two statements of two famous Tanayim and Amar Tanayim about having Talmidim. There's a Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Should a person only teach? Beis Shammai held that a person should only teach a Talmud who's a perfect Talmud, who's going to be follow all the rules, and Talmud that's a Hegyon. And Beis Hillel says, no, you should teach everybody. You don't know what's going to happen. The odds are you'll teach 1,000 people, and then one of those 1,000 will come to be as a great, you know, a great leader in Klal Yisrael, but you should teach every Talmud. And you see also from Rabbi Akiva, who in his life after he lost those 24,000 students, and even though he was already an old man, he said, I'm still going to continue teaching Talmidim, the importance of always upkeeping the Talmidim. And we also see Agla Torah has explained that a person should make a fence for himself in Torah, and Chazal as well, with all their mitzvos derabanan.
All right.
Chazal with their mitzvos derabanan is a siyag l'Torah, and us personally as well. The Mesilas Yesharim explains that every person in their own life should make a siyag, and should try to make safeguards and fences around the Torah so they don't stumble and accidentally violate Yisurim. So that's just a very simple explanation of the three things they said. But to take it a step further, so this is a question that was bothering me, and I want to hear maybe if it's bothering anyone else and how they're going to deal with it. So as we described, Anshei Knesset HaGedola were such great figures.
Yeah. How do they interpret the Amidah?
To establish them. Lift them up. And
stand up.
Yeah, well, that's there's another...
Is that to, like, teach them?
Yeah, or? So it literally means to establish Talmidim, which means to teach Talmidim, to make Talmidim. But there's a... So many people say, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. There's a drasha over here that a lot of the Mefarshim say, and it says more than that. And what does it mean, Hamidu? It means they should be able to stand on their own. Meaning an ideal Rebbe isn't someone who just teaches his Talmidim, but he gives his Talmidim the tools to be able to take what they learned and then go beyond the Rebbe. And they quote the Gemara in Shabbos that describes when you light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to put the flame of the candle that you're lighting from onto the candle that you're lighting to, and until the Shalheves says, Olam Be'aleha, the flame is able to go up now on its own without the support of the first candle. They say that's what an ideal Rebbe is, that he's a flame, he's a fire, and he puts his fire enough on the candle of his student until the student's able to go up on his own as well. But that will focus hopefully another time on Rebbe and Talmidim. So, please. So we said, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were such great, important figures. And
why is it we go through Moshe and Yeshua and Zekanim and nobody said anything?
No one says anything. So why is it the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah the first?
Why do we start there?
So I think because this is a simple answer to that is because it's a Mishnah. And so the Mishnah records the statements of the Tanayim. So Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were amongst the Tanayim. The Nevi'im, we know what the Nevi'im said. It's in Navi. We know what Moshe Rabbeinu said. It's in Chumash. Do we know what the Zekanim said? No, we don't hear so much about the Zekanim. So I guess you have a question on who these Zekanim were in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's probably the simple answer. Could be there's a better answer out there. But it's a good question. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said three things. And we'll see the next Mishnah, right, Shimon HaTzadik tells us three things also. He says, "Al gimel dvarim ha'olam omed, al ha'torah v'al avodah v'al gmilas chasadim." Well, there's a lot to talk about there. And there we obviously see the importance of that statement. That's really what our whole lives are about. Torah, avodah, gmilas chasadim. So you would think that when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, such great, important figures in Klal Yisrael, are going to give us some direction, these three things must be crucially important for our entire hashkafa, outlook on Judaism and service of Hashem. And when you look at it, especially the first one, it's a little puzzling. Havi mesunin bedin. Be patient when you make a judgment. Don't rush to make a judgment. Make sure you think it out. And carefully, the judges should carefully examine it. Some Rishonim even understand, the Rambam amongst them, that the Mishnah is specifically speaking to a judge. So then, everyone in this room, including myself, the Mishnah's not speaking to us. We're not Dayanim sitting on the Beis Din. So it's very strange that the first statement of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah is going to be something that is hard to relate to if we're not Dayanim. Even if we are, that's the most important thing you want to teach us. The other two, I can understand the importance. You could argue there's other important things, but Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, very important. But again, it's not necessarily talking to everybody. It's talking to only someone who has the capacity to have students. Also, Siag LaTorah, okay, that, I understand that's a very important thing for Yiras Shemayim to not trip up on the Torah itself, so you should make a safeguard and a fence for yourself. But let's just start with Havi Masunim Bedin, and maybe we'll be able to answer the other two. What's so crucial about the statement, be patient, be careful, be exacting when you make a judgment? That's what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah want to start Pirkei Avos with. That's the question that give some thought about. So as I was looking around, so we'll look in the Mefarshim here, they pick up an important point that got me thinking. And the point they pick up on is the importance of din, of judgment, of having a judgment system is crucially important. We'll just look at Rashi's comments here on the Mishnah. So what does this mean? Lashem amtinen b'din, havi mesunin b'din, shelo yegomrim hadin b'mehera. Don't rush to finish the judgment. Ela chokrin bo ba'omek. Really try to investigate in a deep manner. Mathisha din hadayin yishiv berumo shel olam. Sorry. Mathisha din yoshiv berumo shel olam. The concept of din, of judgment in Torah, is one of the highest, most important things. Yoshiv berumo shel olam. It's sitting on the top of the highest level of the world. Shaharei la saras hadibros samcho akasuv dichsev elam hashpatim lamdecha shehem gufei Torah. What's immediately following the saras hadibros? What's the parsha after saras hadibros you'd expect? We got the 10. Well, the whole discussion, what exactly makes the, we believe, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, that all the Dinei Torah are equal. We're not supposed to say this is more important than that, but there obviously is something unique to the Saras HaDibros. The many Rishonim understand that all the Taryag Mitzvos can be encompassed within all 10 of the Ramban Alutsud on his Parish and Chumash, and Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a whole poem describing how the 613 are encapsulated by the 10. And you would think, okay, now we have our 10, so the next 20 must be crucially important also. And it says, Ve'ilah ha'mishpatim, and you get a very detailed parsha. Sometimes it's hard to fully appreciate and go through the whole parsha, the heavy details of parsha's mishpatim. So you see the importance of mishpatim. If you look on the third source, the Yalkut Shimoni makes that similar point. The Yalkut Shimoni based on the pesukim in the beginning of mishpatim. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. The king in judgment is mamid, establishes the land. The whole land, the whole world is based on the king's judgment. So what does that mean, Melech b'mishpat? Not literally a physical king. Zakarash Baruch Hu. Shabal li tein tor li Yisrael. What's the first things he gives us? Mishpat. Pasach b'mishpat. Maksiv. Sham sam lo choku mishpat. Even before Matan Torah, in Parshas Beshalach, we got certain mishpats there, certain mitzvos there, and the Torah describes it as choku mishpat. V'kan laman Moshe has a mishpatim, shenemar v'ilo mishpatim. And here in Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu teaching mishpatim. V'zesh amar kosev magid dvar liyakov chukov mishpatav liyisrael amar karash baruch l'moshe nasat lam as a Torah, tein lam as mishpatim. You gave them the initial mitzvos, give them mishpatim as well. Because mishpatim are crucially important, just like the mitzvos. So again, Rashi is the juxtaposition of mishpatim to Yisrael, and the Medrash saying that we even got mishpatim in a certain sense before the Torah and right after the Aseret HaDibros is what makes mishpatim so important. Rabbeinu Yonah continues with that theme, adds to it a lot more. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, "What does it mean mesudim b'din? Morim haros leposkin haros." A poskin that said, "Din v'yomer labayis mechuba machshav rishona ach." Don't just think on your first thought, that must be, but really take the time to decide what the proper halacha is. It will be in hadak, looking at things very carefully. Don't make a mistake in literally measuring your thoughts, balancing your thoughts. Make sure that you may know all the information. The dayan has all the information he needs to know. He knows chol shemesh b'kold, but he has to evaluate the case and make sure he's applying the rules properly. Ki ha'adam ha'memaher laharos nikra posheya. The person who drudges too quickly, he's a posheya. He's responsible. Af b'shechishiv lomar ha'emes. He thinks he's telling the truth. It's not shogeg. It's not a mistake. It's negligence. Ach karv lemezid. Hu asher lo nasim b'lovava lomar levav ha'nivharim lo yavin ladas. People who think hearts that go too quickly won't properly understand things. Ki atos b'chol adam matzoi. Everyone, here's Rabbeinu Yonah. Literally translated, everybody makes mistakes. Make sure when you're teaching, you teach things properly, because even by saying something by mistake, it can lead other people to doing things purposely wrong. The person who goes too quickly is like a ksil, he's a fool. If you're too confident in paskening, you're a shota. Rasha v'gas ruach. You shouldn't be too confident. Many earlier commentators point to an idea that says that, you know, if a posik wants to paskin something, he should look it up first. And there are stories about many great people who would try this practically. Ramosha, and there are stories about Soloveitchik, they would always make sure, unless it's something, you know, as clear as day, but if it had to be looked into, even though they might know the sources from the top of their head, they would make sure to look inside the sefer. L'chein ha'adam ha'mora, yesh ha'lisav litin b'davar, l'hachmetz ha'machshava, he should let the thought think itself over. We make the din into vinegar. Well, how does wine turn into vinegar? We let it sit. So we let the din sit. You think about it overnight. You'll understand things deeper. When you look at it a second time, it will add the things that you didn't see the first time. As the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Ki yismachmitz levavi lekiliosi yeshtonim kolomer achriya asher levavi mischametz mispapel lachachma kiliosi." My insides are going to be able to really understand it. It's not just going to be a superficial understanding, but a deeper understanding. Ani mishtonim mischadid hasagasi ladas ki blize lo yadati vlezechelki kemoshikas v'achra v'ani ber v'lo yada behemos heisi amacha. It's comparing a person who rushes too quickly, doesn't fully grasp things like an animal. So why is this so important? Why specifically din? I should just say that a posik should paskin carefully. Why din? So what's so important about din? Shem ikar gadol b'yadiyas yitzbarach. Do this extra word. It's in a very important concept in knowing Hashem. Kemosh amar Yirmiya, haskil v'yada osi. Yirmiya tells us, you should be wise. You should know me. Ki ani Hashem. What am I? Oseh chesed mishpat v'tzedakah ba'aretz ki be'elah chafatzi nu Hashem. This is what I want. What do I want? What does Hashem desire? He wants din. He wants mishpat. Ve'eich yaskil adam ladatz Hashem. V'udavar ha'nimna ach b'zos yodanu la'asos dinu mishpat. Ki Hashem asa aselu. How do we know Hashem? By doing what Hashem tells us. How do we know him? What he does. Mishpat. V'zehu shenemar dan din ani ve'evyon az tov halohi hadas osi. If you properly judge the poor person, you don't favor the rich, and you judge a fair judgment, that's knowing me. Kim asos mishpat v'avas chesed. What does Hashem want? To do mishpat, to love chesed, but to properly see the din in its fruition. Ki adinen heim shorish gadol l'Torah. They're the root of Torah. U'mihem nishtasas ha'olam. On these dinim, the world is established. K'moshe amru b'medrash lefnei aseres ha'dibros. V'shavtu ha'san b'chalis v'ksiv l'achar aseres ha'dibros b'ilo mishpatim. So you see that right before aseres ha'dibros, when Yisrael's coming, what's he advising Moshe Rabbeinu about? What was Yisrael's whole advice? How to establish proper court systems. You have aseres ha'dibros, the great event of Matan Torah, back to ilo mishpatim, back to court. So you see, the Torah is established based on the court system. As right, what it brings the king into the world is his the people who are in his cabinet who establish his din. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah emphasizing the thing that we saw in Rashi and the Medrash of how important din is. So, but what makes din so important? He just tells us that it is important. It's what Hashem wants. But what about din? About judging things properly? Makes it that's the main way to know Hashem. We know that's the right thing to do. It's fair. Hashem wants it to be fair. It should be equal to other categories of mitzvahs of treating people in the proper way. But to say the whole world is established on din, what makes that so unique? What's so special about din? So to understand this, there's a whole slew of sources that point to the importance of imagining being the dayan. The role of what the dayan is supposed to have. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when the dayan gives a proper judgment, so the Shekhinah comes down, the Shekhinah Shruyi Bein Dayanim, the Shekhinah is in the midst of the Dayanim, and the Gemara says if he's Dan Din Lamito, he becomes a Shittah for the Kadosh Baruch and Maisa Bereshis. He becomes like Hashem's partner in creating the entire world, giving a very high stature to the Dayanim. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when a person goes to Beis Din, he has to wrap in his head the special turban, the garments they would wear that were very respectful, the same garments they would wear for Tefillah. Very, nowadays, just like people have special clothes that they wear during davening, similar thing, they would have to dress up respectably to stand in front of the Dayanim because the Shekhinah is in the midst of the Dayanim. And they point also to the Pasuk, Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel. Yeah. Right? So Elokim literally, it could be Hashem. It's also referring to the judges, that the judges that are establishing and properly judging, so Hashem's presence is within those judges. That's just one step. The first layer of what gives them such an important stature is the Shekhinah's presence amongst the judges. When the judges act and they properly judge things correctly, so they've achieved being almost like, we titled this year, to play God, almost like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They become a Shuttef in the Maisa Bracious. There's a whole deeper idea there about how Hashem wanted to create the world originally with Din, and then he chose to do with Rachamim. So you see already in Maisa Bracious, when Hashem was creating the world, there was an aspect of Din, and we'll see as we go through the Parsha, the concept of the Beis Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beis Din Shel Ma'alah. But through Din, through proper judgment, the Dayanim are able to tap into a Hashras HaShchinah. You would think that it's just a simple place where you need to get out fairness and admit the proper judgment, but it becomes almost like the Beis HaMikdash and holy places where there's Hashras HaShchinah. And Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim takes it one step further. Besides there being a Hashras HaShchinah amongst the Dayanim, there's also an added, the Dayanim, due to their Hashras HaShchinah possibly, have an added Hashgacha. In court, a proper court, a proper Beis Din, Hashem makes sure that the Din is seen to be and din emes, in a truthful way. And in Parshas Mishpatim, when it describes the whole incident of someone who kills Bishogig, and he has to be sent to Galos, the Lashon of the Chumash is, V'elohim ino liyado, Hashem caused it to come into his hand. And Rashi there describes the whole story of one person who killed intentionally, and there were never any witnesses around to prosecute him, and he got away with the crime. And there was another guy, called Shimon, who killed Bishogeg, right? He killed unintentionally, and also he was never caught and sent to Gullus. So Hashem will meet the two of them up together, and the one who killed intentionally will be walking on the street, walking by, minding his own business, and the one who formerly killed Bishogeg unintentionally and never got caught is going to be on a high ladder, and he's going to fall down from the ladder, and he's going to kill Ruvain, who deserves to be punished Lemisa anyway because he killed intentionally, and then the one who Shimon, who killed unintentionally, is going to be sent into Galus. So you see that, and it's about Elohim, and Aliado, even though we couldn't judge the Din Lamito properly the first time, and they got away with the punishment, Hashem's Hashkach is going to see to it that everyone's going to get the proper punishment they deserve, and the two of them met up together through Hashkacha. That's what Rashi says. And the Ramban takes that whole idea one step further in describing the halacha of Edom Zomimin, right? Edom Zomimin is two witnesses who come into Beis Din and they accuse someone, they accuse Reuven of killing somebody. And then two other witnesses come and they say, oh, those first two witnesses that said Reuven killed someone on such and such place on such and such days, it can't be. Because we were with those Edom at our house on that day, and we know for sure they couldn't have seen this crime they're accusing Reuven of, and they're just trying to get him. So there the Torah says that they get a punishment, and their punishment is Ba'asisim lo kasher zamam la'asos li'achiv. Torah and Parsha Shoftim. Whatever they attempted to do, we place it upon back on them. That's what the Torah says, and the Gemara makes a drasha based on that. That's only if it's an attempt. But if they were successful, and Reuven actually got killed based on their testimony, then the two Edom show up and say, those guys are a bunch of liars, so we don't give them the punishment of Misa. It says, Vatizlam kasher zamam below kasher asa, like they attempted to do, and not, right, whoever learned Makos, right there in the beginning of Daf Hey, whatever they attempted to do, not what they actually did. So all the Mefarshim and all the Rishonim in the Gemara are bothered. That's very counterintuitive. They're going to get the same punishment if they attempted to do something. Wouldn't it be a Kal v'chomer if they actually did it? So however we understand that, it might be based on the intricate details of Edom Zomin, but what the Ramban says to deal with that question is something fascinating. He says that if they were actually successful, so it must be that Beis Din will not mete out a punishment that's not deserved. Even though they were doing it under false testimony, the Hashkacha of Beis Din, Hashem wants to make sure that everything that happens in Beis Din is to the ultimate truth. So if this guy was actually successfully killed, even though the basis of his death sentence was based on false testimony, it must be that there was something that we don't know about, he really deserves to die. And Hashkacha had it that these two guys are going to falsely accuse him, even though that's not the punishment that what they're accusing him for, he doesn't deserve to die, because that never happened. Something else must have happened. We don't know this whole person's history. So therefore, if they were actually successful and it happened, then we're not going to punish them anymore, because they were like the tools of Hashkacha to see to it that this guy should be successfully punished. That's the way the Ramban understands Kasher Zamam Velo Kasher Asa. That if they were actually successful through their false testimony in killing him, a mistake won't happen through Beis Din. Okay, we know Beis Din makes mistakes, but at least in this context, there's a whole parsha of a carbon that's get brought if Beis Din makes the wrong psak. But in this context, the Ramban thinks that's a special hashgacha of Beis Din. So what do we see through these sources? That first of all, there's Hashras HaShchina. It's a holy place. They're involved in very holy work when they're trying to judge. And due to that, they get special hashgacha pratis to see to it that the emes is going to be reached. So the Dayanim are very important figures. And they're able to, basically, the closest thing that we have to Hashem's direct involvement, right? They are seeing to it that Hashem's will gets played out in this world. And that's really not just true by Dayanim. That's really our job as Jews, as Obdei Hashem, is to play out and to allow for Hashem's will and Hashem's Ratzon to be fulfilled in this world, so much so that, like, as the Dayanim are playing God, we even affect what's happening in Beis Din Shalmala. Whatever the judges determine to be truthful in this world, so Hashem, so to speak, through his Beis Din Shalmala, is maskim to their, and tries to see to it, the Hashkacha will be in line with their actual psak. So the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph, he really develops this idea, and hopefully for another time we can see more detail when it's related to another Mishnah, but he describes, this is the whole point of being a Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean to be a Tzelem Elokim? That we're made in Hashem's image. He says that Hashem gave us powers in which are similar, kivyachal, to His.
He also gave us the Torah.
He gave us the Torah, and through the Torah we're able to tap into our Tzelem Elokim. Right? That's a tool where we can recognize our Tzelem Elokim through the Torah. And that's why the word Elokim is used. Because the Rishonim explain what's the difference between the name Yudke Vavke and the name Elokim. So just like we use the name Elohim for a judge, so too the name Elohim for Hashem, it means that you have powers, you have control over things. Opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei, which has its own meaning. And that's the way Hashem set up the world, that He gave us the keys. He gave, His Lashon, the third line, on the fifth source of the Sheet, V'chein ahishlit ritzoni yisberach etz adam shiyahu aposeach v'asoger shal kam alfi revos kochos v'alamas api kol prate seder hin hagasas b'chol inyanov. All the things that we do, all the actions that we accomplish, we have the keys to cause in Bezin Shalmala, through Hashem's will, what Hashem wants to see to it that will happen in this world, through our actions. If Hashem wants to give us beautiful things and good lives and long lives and parnasa, and we'll see when the Ramban describes in the Pasuk they'll read, right? Avram Zakin, Babi Bimba, Hashem Berechas Avram Bakol. The Ramban says, what's Bakol? Everything a person desires. Right? He says, wealth and honor and children, like Avram had, in a long life that Avram had, and accomplishing to see all his goals, where that's what Hashem wants to give of us all. But it's up to us. We hold the keys in order to accomplish those things. And then he takes it a whole step further. We even are the Baal Koach. We even have control over HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachal. How do we see this? We have control over the higher worlds, the higher spheres, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look on the fifth, the next line, right, continuing on the same line, through the root, what all our actions, our speech and our thoughts are rooted in the higher worlds. We can even control those worlds and Hashem's spiritual worlds, the way His will gets brought down to this world. Rabbi Azariah b'shem Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon Omer b'zman sheyisal olsin ritzono shel magom mosifin koach b'gvura shel mala. When Klai Yisrael does what Hashem wants, we give strength to Mala, to Hashem. We allow Hashem, kivyachol, to be able, obviously you can't understand it on a literal level, Hashem has, Bechir is not even something to discuss about Hashem, but we allow Hashem's will to be seen more and be brought down into this world through our positive actions. Kimod the Amar, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, which we recite during davening, when we don't fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, then we lessen the Koach Shemala, Tzor Yad Chateshi, right, through, right, there's the Pasuk in Hazino, it gets lessened. V'kam Mekom is B'Zohar Kadosh, the Zohar makes this point very clear, D'chov B'nei Nasha Avdinim Pigimo Le'ila, the sins of people create a Pigam in Shemayim. So Hashem gave us a power, and this is the pasuk we say every day in davening, Tenu Oz Elohim, give power to Hashem. We give power, so to speak. We allow all the brachos, or we either allow or we disrupt all the brachos from coming to this world through our actions. And that's exactly what Dayanim do in Beis Din. And at Beis Din, the Dayanim's job, and that's why the Shechina's there, and that's why they have that Hashgacha, because they are the closest thing to being Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem set up the world based on Mishpat. He wants His Mishpat to be accomplished, but He doesn't do it on His own, so to speak. He gives the power to special individuals who are able to paskin, and their psak is affected and seen out and played out. And that's true on one level by Dayanim, and it's even true about all of us. And maybe that's how to understand the Mishnah, having Mesunin B'din, not just the din of the Beis Din, but all our decisions, all our actions, all our, as the Nefesh HaChaim says, our speech, our thoughts, our actions, they all have an effect on Beis Din Shalmala. They all accomplish something and are able to either add positive things to this world or take away and create negative things. And it's all up to us, having Mesunim B'din, to be thoughtful of that, to be mindful of that. Just like the judge is the ultimate, like, you know, he shares the name, right? By the judge, it's not a holy name, it's Elohim. And Elohim, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shares that name. But it's true by every person as well, through all our actions. As many Mefarshim say in Parshas Shoftim, when it says Shoftim v'Shoshim titen l'cha b'chol sharecha doesn't literally mean your gates. It means the gates to your own self, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, everything that your body parts, your legs, your arms, your whole body should set up gates, should set up judges at your gates, because everything that we're doing has that effect. And if you understand the mission in that perspective, then really the Anshe Knesset Gedolah are teaching us a very profound thing. They're teaching us the ultimate level is the real Dayan, but all of us have that ability to play God, so to speak, to have that power. And if you understand that, then the next part of the Mishnah fits in beautifully. The Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, Biyasu Siyag LaTorah, is that same role. Once we realize that's who we are, and we have that ability, even if you're not a Rebbe, and you're not a Rav, but how many of you tell me Talmidim Harbe should speak to every Jew? Because every Jew has a godlike power to affect things. That must mean that he's been given within him a very high spiritual ability, so he should try to pass it on to others. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and he's the ultimate Rebbe, every Jew in that Tzelem Elokim
should...
On Har Sinai. That's exactly right. Should be Ma'amid many Talmidim. And V'asa Siag LaTorah also is our godlike power. Why? Because what gives us the right to make a Siag on the Torah? It's a little bit of chutzpah, don't you think? Hashem gave us the Torah, Targ Mitzvahs. We say Torah Hashem Tamima. It's perfect. And we're going to say, oh, you know what? We're going to add this point here. And we're going to make this Gzeira Derabanan. And we're going to be attacking. Hashem told us that, you know, at least in Rosh Hashanah, you don't carry on Shabbos. Shlomo Melech came along in the Gemara in Erevin, praises his great accomplishment that we should make an Erev, not in Rosh Hashanah, we're able to carry in a Karmelis. And we should watch the Tilsi Yadayim before we eat all the Gzeiros that are made. Who are we to do that? Torah should be as it is. But no, Hashem gave us, it's not, and the Rishonim ask, how come it's not Baal Tosef? How come we're not adding on to the Torah? But the answer is that that's part of the Ratzon Hashem. He wants us to be, so to speak, like Him. He gave us the Torah. We could create and add to the Torah in a positive way. And that adds Yirah Shemayim. And where do you find the first Siyag? Moshe Rabbeinu. At Har Sinai, like Simi said. What did he say? Moshe Rabbeinu said, be ready on the third day. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, second day. So the Gemara says, Moshe was Mosef Yom Echad Midaito on his own. What a chutzpah. He said, Hashem's ready to come down day two. He tells Klai Yisrael, day two, stay in your tents. Come out day three. When did Hashem come down? Day three. Hashem listened, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu. He affected the Beis Din Shalmala. His psak in Beis Din Shalmata affected Beis Din Shalmala. The first siyag is this idea of our power of control, our ability to be almost godlike. And that's what they're teaching us in this Mishnah. And that's a responsibility that we have to be able to, it's a power that we have that comes with a responsibility to be careful, to be aware of it, having masudim, but then be careful about it, make sure our actions are in order, and then with that power, we should be able to influence others, hamidu talmidim harbe. Baso siyag l'Torah is also that same idea. Safeguard to ensure that we don't ever violate the Torah with the proper Yirah Shamayim. And we see this really, you know, the idea to combine the Pirkei Avos and the Parsha, I was nervous about, but each week it just keeps working out perfectly. And this time I was even nervous about it because I looked through the Parsha, and, you know, there's 60 psukim about Eliezer and Rivka, because first you have the whole incident of exactly what happened, and then you have Eliezer, which Rashi comments on, Yafa Sichasan, he...
And you also have the Bris.
The Bris, right. So exactly, you have a lot going on, and he tells over the whole story again, so what is this going to have to do with Pirkei Avos, the whole story of the Shidduch of Rivka? But then if you get to even before that incident, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, right, V'Avram Zakin Babi B'Yamim, V'Hashem B'Yirach Es Avram Bakol. Avram was getting old, coming on in his days, and Hashem blessed Avram with Bakol, with everything. So the Ramban that we're about to start starts in the middle, but before he gets to his very deep explanation, so he says, what's a simple explanation of Hashem blessing Avram with everything? So, literally, everything. Look at the way he says it, it's very beautiful. Everything that a person would desire in considering himself having an accomplished life, Hashem gave Avram, except for the fact that he didn't have the proper wife for his son, and that's the prelude to what's about to happen. Then the Ramban says, that's a simple explanation, but I looked around in the Gemara, and I saw a very confusing thing. The Gemara says that, what does it mean, Bakol? There are three opinions in the end of the first parak of Bava Basra, that either means that Avram didn't have a daughter, and that's why it's called Bakol, or Avram did have a daughter, and that's why he was blessed Bakol, and the third opinion is even stranger, he had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. That's what the Gemara says. Ooh. So first the Ramban tries to deal with that on a simple level, and explains, well, if Avram had a daughter, why wasn't he interested in finding a shidduch for her? He was only interested in finding a shidduch for his son, that doesn't seem so fair. And he says something very important in terms of chinuch. He says that by Yitzhak, we see what was his whole point of sending Eliezer. He said, I can't take a wife for my son from the Benos HaKananim. I have to go back to my hometown. I don't want anything to do with the immorality around me. But the Rivka, she came back, right? Not like the typical way, right? She came live near her husband's parents. So you see that Rivka Yitzchak and Rivka couldn't stay together in that area. They had to come back and be under Avram's influence. And Avram knew that in the way it worked in those times, if his daughter would have gotten married, even from someone who was better than the Bnei Aknanim back in Haran, she would have had to move away with them. And she would have been out of his sphere of influence, and she could have been influenced to do Avodah Zarah. And the thought of his daughter being caught up in Avodah Zarah, so he said, at least for now, you know, it's not the right time. To be able to stand on his certain beliefs are unnegotiable. But then he says, he deals with that on a simple level, and then he says, "Aval acherim chidshu beperish hakasa v'zeh inyan amok ma'od, v'darshu b'zeh sod misodos haTorah." And I would not normally try to take an attempt at this, but for two and I don't understand 85-10% of this, but the two reasons why I think we should delve into it, three reasons. First of all, just to see the Ramban's depth and breadth of Kabbalah, to realize that there's a whole area of Torah that we really should or shouldn't know, but it's out there, and there's a lot going on there. It's just important to see the grandeur and how much it really is in Torah, because there's a whole area that the Ramban was obviously so proficient in that we know very little about. Point A. Point B is that the Ramban usually, as we learned from last year, when he says there's a secret here, he'll say, and a one-liner, there's a secret here, and it's the secret of, you know, in Bezos HaBracha, he says there's a special secret about Bezos, and he quotes a few lines, and then he says, if you understand it, you understand it. If you don't, good, I don't need to explain it to you. But here, he wrote a whole page. So obviously, and then at the end of it, he says that if you understood this, then you could understand the real secret. So he wasn't even revealing the real secrets. And there's a part of it which I actually do understand that fits to it fits to our topic at hand here. So what's this bakol? What's this idea that Hashem blessed Avram with the bakol? V'amar ki bakol tirmoz al inyan gadol v'hu sheish l'kadosh baruch hu mida tikra kol. There's a mida of Hashem, right? The way, this is the idea of, a simple idea of Kabbalah, that the whole idea of the spheros, right? When we, have you ever heard people talk about them? And even in Svarim that are not necessarily pure Kabbalah Svarim, they talk about, you know, there's a sphere of Malchus and Gvura and Chesed and Yesod and Teferis. So what does all that mean? It means that the true essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the Rishonim and all the, you know, Jewish philosophers agree, you cannot grasp the true essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we do see is how Hashem plays himself out in this world, how we see his midos. Just like our midos are the way we act, Hashem's midos, so to speak, are the way in which we interact with him. The true essence of Hashem, no interaction. That's way beyond this world. But Hashem's chesed, Hashem's gvura, Hashem's yesod is seen in this world, and there's a whole system of Kabbalah of how those play out and emanate down from each other. So that's what Bakol is, one of the midos of Hashem, and how we interact with this world. And they should yesod hakol. The code, the kol, is really the root of everything. B'zeh ne'emar, Anochi Hashem, Osa HaKol. I did everything. This whole midah of kol. The Yisona Aretz B'cholhu. And the existence, what's added onto this world is through B'chol. That's what as Hashem's interaction in this world is. Yomer Ki Yisona Aretz V'tov HaGedol HaShof HaKol Bayolam. The great chesed that Hashem is mashpia, that Hashem brings down for us in this world, comes from Bakol. Bavor ki Bakol hi, it's through Hakol. V'hi amida hashminis biyud gimel midos, and the 13 midos of Hashem, Hashem kelrachem v'chanan, it's the 8th midah, and according to, there's different ways of counting it, but the way that some of the mafarshim and the Ramban explain this, the way the Ramban counts it is that it's the midah of MS, and it's a whole issue of that I don't fully understand why Bakol would be connected to Emes. Umida Acheres Tikra Bas. And there's another Mida that comes from Bakol that's called the Bas. And right in Kabbalah there's a whole concept of the Zachar and the Keva, the mother and the father, different parts of the Shekhinah, and then the way in which we receive that Hashpa is through the Bas. It comes down from the Kol. Ubo Maniges Akol. And through the Bas, meaning through the next level, Hashem actually, one is more in the higher worlds we don't really interact with, the Bakol, but through the Bas, what the Bakol gave birth to, so to speak, we're able to interact with. So just to understand a little bit and point to one piece that relates to what we're saying, the Medrash and Shir HaShirim, if you look, the next paragraph, V'inyan hazeh nimsel rabasinim ramos b'hagados b'mekomos rabim. K'inyan shemar medrash chazis, the medrash in Shir HaShirim, shal shabbi shimon ben yochai, shabbi lezer b'rebi yossi esher sheshamata mi'avicha ma'u ba'atara sh'atru lo'imo. Did you ever hear from your father what's in the crown that your mother gave to him as a crown. Amar lo hein, yeah, I know exactly what's on that crown. Amar lo hayich, how do you know that? Amar lo mashal melech, shayis lo bas, yichida. There was a king who had one princess, one daughter. Vayimechava yosher midai, and he loved her a tremendous amount. Vayakoris lo biti, and he would call her biti, my daughter, my one daughter. Lo zaza michivava ad shekar osto achosi. That chiba grew and grew and grew until he started calling her my sister. Lo zaza michivava ad shekar osto imi. And then the chiba grew and then he started calling her my mother. Kach betchila chiba v'karash baruch Yisrael. And the way the Mefarshim, the Gra among them explain this, Hashem created Klal Yisrael, created the world for Klal Yisrael, and we were called his daughter. We grew even closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu through Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. We became like his sister. When Hashem gave us the Torah, we became like his mother. What does it mean we became like his mother? It's hard to understand. So the Gra explains, based on this Medrash, that it's the three stages of the Klal Yisrael. And at Matan Torah, what does it mean we became like his mother? We, so to speak, we got control. A mother is able to control a little bit of the Torah gave us a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're able to, this Midah Bakol, Hashem gave Avram the Midah of Kol. Hashem totally gave him, because Avram was such an Oseh Chesed and following Hashem's ways, he gave him the Midah Bakol to control this world. To not just Hashem to give him goodness, but through what he does, it's going to create more and more good. That's what Avram's Chesed was. And at Matan Torah, when we got the Torah, we became like Imi. We had a certain amount of control, more than just having an intimate relationship as a daughter. We jumped and came above, and we became like a mother. And a mother, why it's exactly in the feminine, that I'm not sure, that takes a lot more to understand. But a mother is able to affect and control kivyachal his daughter, her daughter. And through the Torah, and through Avram Avinu's Chesed, the Klai Yisrael will reach the Majega, where we're able to have that effect. And that's really the message of this Mishnah. And the message for us, to try to go through the whole Ramban and understand it, is just to realize the depth of it. But the message for us is that we do have this power, and our actions are extremely important. And they're not just our actions to be taken for ourselves. They have an effect on and that's really how you know when, you know, Klai Yisrael's in an Eitz Tzara, it really gives it a new meaning. It's not just that we should daven. Really, all the actions of every Jew, Klal Yisrael, are interconnected, and we affect what Hashem wants to bestow, goodness, and things for us in this world. It really is based on our control and our power and our ability. And the more we are able to tap into the Torah, and we say it's through Matan Torah, and the more we become, as the Anshei Knesset Gedolah are saying, the type of people, Hamidu Tamidim Harbi, also Sefer Torah, Avim Sunim Bedin, we're able to get more of that power and able to hopefully see much more good and great things.
Shreya.